This is the Aspen Public Radio Newscast. I'm your host, Eleanor Bennett, here with your top stories this Thursday. The Aspen Police Department has closed an investigation into sexual assault allegations against a priest who worked at St. Mary's Catholic Church. The 19-month investigation was conducted with assistance from the 9th Judicial District Attorney's Office and the FBI. Aspen police say they determined the case was unfounded and no charges will be filed. The allegation against former St. Mary's priest Michael O'Brien was made in 2021, alleging a series of incidents from 2004 to 2008 involving a juvenile victim. The department says it spent over 500 hours and interviewed over 80 witnesses over the course of the investigation. Pickin County Sheriff Michael Buglioni campaigned on the idea that the county doesn't need a new jail, but that the current one could be improved. Now, county officials say the jail may not need to be moved to a new location. As Caroline Yanez reports, there's an opportunity to expand the facility in its existing location.
In a presentation to Pickin County Commissioners, County Manager John Peacock shared that the jail was designed to potentially accommodate a second floor expansion, which could add another 4,500 square feet. He asked commissioners to think big picture during Tuesday's work session.
What role is this facility really playing in the community? Is it the role of a traditional detention center? Are there other community services that should either be co-located or such with this facility, whether that be detox or mental health services?
Peacock and other officials presented on a variety of factors that go into considerations for a jail, including separating inmates by gender and risk classification, as well as counseling spaces and places to meet with an attorney. No budget for the jail was discussed during this meeting, but construction is still a long way off. Caroline Yanez, Aspen Public Radio News.
Currently, Pickin County has an agreement with Eagle County to house inmates while it works on improving its jail. Aspen's City Council has approved changes to its rental policy for public parks. Now, commercial events with fewer than five attendees, like a yoga or Pilates class, will pay $10 per day. And commercial events with five or more attendees will pay $35 per day, in addition to the application fee and hourly park rental. Councilor Bill Guth was opposed to the rule change, saying he doesn't support regulations for under five participants.
I think it's unenforceable. I think it's unmanageable. I think it invites the kind of regulation that I don't want to potentially become an issue in Aspen. Seems like a rule there for rule's sake.
Guth was the only dissenting vote in approving the rules. Councilor John Doyle expressed his support for the measure.
Commercial use of our public parks have been on the increase over time, and COVID exacerbated it, affecting the general public's use of our public parks. I think this is an important step to addressing that. I think setting up some guidelines actually helps avoid conflicts.
In addition to those fee changes, there will also be a limit of 4 hours for a rental, and only 16 of Aspen's parks can be rented. City staff say the other parks are neighborhood parks and are not suitable for commercial events. Staff also say there will be no real changes to how the city manages the parks for athletic and other special events. The Aspen School District's Educators Union was recognized with a bargaining award for its work on behalf of teachers this week. The Aspen Education Association established the district's first collective bargaining agreement in 2021, and last year it secured the largest raise for staff in the state of Colorado. The Mel Mickelson Diamond Award recognizes a group of members for outstanding service to education through collective bargaining. It's presented annually by the Colorado Education Association. 350 Roaring Fork will lead another protest against the proposed Uinta Basin Railway in Glenwood Springs on Saturday. Protesters with the Environmental Advocacy Organization want to stop the construction of a new railroad in Utah, which would increase the amount of crude oil traveling through Glenwood Canyon and along the Colorado River. Saturday's protest takes place at Centennial Park in Glenwood. Participants will be demanding the Department of Transportation turn down a request for $2 billion in low-interest bonds for the railroad's construction. And don't forget, the Wild and Scenic Feasibility Collaborative is hosting a community summit on the future of the Crystal River tonight. The event starts at 5 p.m. at the Marble Firehouse. In local arts news, the Aspen Art Museum will show more than 1,000 artworks by local students this spring with a focus on elaborate puppetry. Kaya Williams reports on the Youth Art Expo that opens this Saturday.
The museum is partnering with two puppetry groups to support and mentor students involved in the show. Efrain Daliero is one half of the duo known as Poncili Creacion with his brother Pablo. He says puppetry can inspire the inner child in everyone, and that this show can inspire parents to support their kids' creativity.
This will maybe change the way some adults see what art is, and like maybe they're prioritize teaching their kids art. Because outside of a school setting, creating art, the only way I see that happening is if the family is enthusiastic about it.
Poncili is leading workshops, performances, and exhibition design for the expo. The museum is also partnering with the collective MAPS, which stands for Music, Art, Puppet, Sound. MAPS designed curricula for schools throughout the Roaring Fork Valley meant to inspire students working on the show. Poncili, MAPS, and teen participants will be performing at the opening on Saturday. From the Edlis Neeson Arts and Culture Desk, I'm Kaya Williams.
The Five Point Adventure Film Festival will grant $15,000 in funding to the winner of this year's pitch event in Carbondale. Filmmaker Kirk Holton of Boulder won the contest for his project, The Old Man of the Mountain, which tells the story of the oldest running team in the U.S. And that's not the only film funding coming out of Five Point. Partnerships with brands like Steo and Fat Tire have established $50,000 in grants, including some specifically for filmmakers who are Black, Indigenous, and people of color. In statewide news, Coloradans won't be seeing rent control in their communities this legislative session. A bill sponsored by Glenwood Springs Democrat Elizabeth Velasco that would have lifted the statewide ban on rent stabilization died in committee Tuesday night. The Senate Committee on Local Government and Housing voted to postpone the bill indefinitely. Avon Democrat Dylan Roberts joined three Republicans in voting against the bill, saying he was worried it would stifle housing development. In a tweet, Velasco thanked those who came to testify in favor of the bill and said, quote, "Our working families deserve better." Meanwhile, Governor Jared Polis's flagship housing legislation is getting a major change. As Lucas Brady Woods reports, it's an attempt to create a path forward for the bill.
An amendment introduced this week attempts to appease the bill's opposition, which considered the measure to be state overreach. The original version would have required that municipalities change their zoning rules to allow for more multi-unit housing. The new amendment eliminates any state control over local land use rules. Bill sponsor, Senate Majority Leader Dominic Moreno, says the conversation around state-level land use reform isn't over.
Zoning reform is going to be a topic in future legislative sessions. Hopefully we'll be able to work with our local partners to figure out a way forward on that.
Now the bill would create a state board to figure out housing needs of specific communities and advise them on how to make housing more affordable. The amended version of the bill was approved by a legislative committee and is now headed to the Senate floor. A preliminary vote is expected this week. I'm Lucas Brady Woods at the State Capitol.
In regional news, a Colorado News collaborative recently released a report highlighting the experiences of Indigenous communities with the media. It also includes solutions on improving that relationship. Emma Vanda 90 of the Mountain West News Bureau reports.
COLAB's Indigenous Voices report gathered Indigenous leaders and community members for discussions. The group frequently mentioned how they felt invisible in the media. They also said the coverage of issues important to them was very superficial.
The less that the community is covered in a human and depth way, the more those stereotypes persist or become deeper ingrained.
That's Tara McLean Manthe, a citizen of the Osage Nation in Oklahoma and the project leader. The report focuses on three areas of improvement: reach, representation, and respect. Some specific solutions mentioned are building trust and reporting relationships, getting Native journalists in the newsroom, and educating journalists about Native history through training. COLAB plans to meet with Indigenous leaders, journalists, and funders to share the information and help put these solutions into action. The report is available on the COLAB website. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Emma Vanda 90.
The Mountain West News Bureau helped fund community discussions that contributed to that report. The Aspen Public Radio Newscast is produced by our news team, which includes Hallie Zander, Caroline Yanez, Kaya Williams, Brent Gardner-Smith, and me, your host, Eleanor Bennett. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.